Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We will return to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and to this challenging passage that deals with the distinction between the sexes that God Himself has designed and has appointed, has told us what His design is and expects us to accept it and conform to it. And the discussion begins after a couple of introductory verses in verses 1 and 2, the discussion about the roles of male and female begins in verse 3. Where Paul the Apostle says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, I have dealt with that verse extensively over the last several broadcasts, and I don't want to do that again because I feel like that would be a bit tedious, though I know there are some of you who didn't hear it and would love to hear me explain that again, but I just can't really return to it, except to say, here's a summary of what it's teaching. What God is saying is the sexes are different but equal. This is not teaching inequality. The woman is not unequal to the man. The woman is not inferior to the man. But there are differences of role and differences of submission. The man is, everybody submitted. Everybody has an area of submission. The man, the head of the man is Christ. He's not a law unto himself. He isn't without authority. He has authority. The head of the man is Christ. And even Christ himself is under authority. He's under authority to God the Father. So with those two statements, why is it so unacceptable to believe the third statement that's in this verse, that namely, the head of the woman is man? But that, of course, is the one that causes all of the controversy in our day. And we shall work through this passage, but I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, February 3, Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your help financially to enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, after making that statement of verse 3, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God," he goes on then to make some current applications to the Corinthian church in its day and culture, because these are things that would be well understood in that day. And so the manifestation of this submission to what God has appointed is indicated by certain cultural practices. And so he says in verse 4, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." That's a clear statement. We understand, therefore, that in that day, Paul was saying that when men involve themselves in public worship, they do so without a hat. They do so without a head covering. They don't have their heads covered. And we pretty much practice that today. We, even though we're not in the same culture, we do have this biblical foundation that has affected our culture today, so that Most people have some concept that a man shouldn't wear a hat in church. He takes his cap off when he comes into church. In fact, many people would even take that further and say a man takes his cap off when he comes inside a structure. He can wear it outside, but not inside. And that isn't carried through quite as consistently. Not everybody has that concept, that a man shouldn't wear a hat indoors at all. But to wear a hat in church, that's pretty well misunderstood to not be appropriate. I would think most people really wouldn't know why they think that. They probably really wouldn't be able to take you to this passage in 1 Corinthians 11. They probably wouldn't have a clue as to what this passage teaches, but still they have this general concept that it's not appropriate for a man to wear a hat in church. Where does that come from? Right here. Every man praying or prophesying, that would be speaking, ministering, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Now, the question is, does that mean dishonor, that phrase dishonors his head, does that mean he's dishonoring his own head, or does that mean he's dishonoring Christ, who is his head? Because verse 3 said, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. I think he's saying here that he dishonors the Lord Jesus Christ, who is his head. But be that as may, there is a distinction in the way that men and women were to dress in public worship in Corinth to manifest these basic general principles that are timeless, have nothing to do with one particular location or one particular culture, but the manifestations of how that is communicated do change from place to place and time to time. And so then he goes on to talk about a woman's dress. Verse 5, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. Well, who's her head? Her husband, the man. That's what he said in verse 3. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, the head of Christ is God. So if the man covers his head, puts a hat on his head, he's dishonoring his head, namely Christ. If a woman uncovers her head, she's dishonoring her head, namely the man, and we understand that from other places to be talking about her husband. For, it goes on to say, if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, then let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. Wow, I mean, Paul's just sticking, he's stepping in deep doo-doo in almost every verse here, as far as modern culture is concerned. Wow, you can't say things like that. Well, he does, and he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's not speaking for himself. He's speaking what has been given to him by Christ. In other words, it's not Paul who's saying this. It's Christ who's saying this. It's God who's saying this. This is divine revelation. He goes on to say in verse 8, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. Now we'll go back to these verses in more detail, but he's getting down to some foundational principles here, basically saying, think about creation in the beginning. God created man first, and then said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a woman suitable for him. And he brought the woman to the man, and she became his, and we have a word in the old King James that most people know what the word is, but probably haven't thought about it that much, but it's the word helpmeet. That's an old English word that we don't use anymore. But you could smooth that out by saying helper. The woman has been created for the purpose of being the helper to the man. Now, again, that's not politically correct, but that's what it's saying. The man wasn't created for the woman. The man wasn't created to help the woman. But the woman was created to be a helper for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. We'll stop there. I mean, we keep getting into difficult statements here the further we go along. What is this business about the angels? And we'll get into that in due time. But back to what we've already looked at. In regard to male attire for worship, there should be no head covering, no hats in church for men, because that is dishonoring. It's dishonoring to the man's head, which could either be Christ or could be himself. But in either case, whether he's dishonoring Christ or dishonoring himself, there's some dishonor attached to wearing, for a man to wear a hat in worship, at least in Corinth. But when it comes to female attire for worship, it's the exact opposite. In that case, the head should be covered. An uncovered head, we read here, is shameful. To have the head uncovered means that the woman dishonors her head, which could mean her husband. I suggested a moment ago that it very well may mean that, but it could mean herself. She's dishonoring herself in a way that would be similar to having a shaven head. Now, that doesn't carry the same cultural symbolism, the cultural meaning in our day that it did in that day. I don't know that I would say for a woman to have a shaved head is a dishonorable thing in our day, though I think most people, most Christians at least, have some kind of an instinctive feeling that that's really not the way it should be. But there are times when it's the only way to be. I have a daughter who has been treated for a brain tumor, and the treatment left her bald. Was that dishonoring her head to be bald, to be shaven? No. But in Paul's day in Corinth, it was pretty common for slaves to have their heads shaved. It was also sometimes the penalty for adultery. When someone was found guilty of adultery, one of the penalties was to shave their head. It was a sign of shame. It really was. And it was the common practice of prostitutes in that day. So in that day, to have a shaven head didn't always mean the same thing in every case, but in every case it meant something less than highly honorable. Slaves frequently had shaven heads. Is that what you're saying, that you are a slave? Adulteresses often had their head shaven. Is that what you're saying, that you're guilty of adultery? Prostitutes often had shaven heads. Is that what you're saying, that you're an immoral person, a prostitute? And Paul is saying for a woman to participate in public worship without a head covering is not much different from having a shaven head that indicates one of these less than honorable practices in his day. As I say, none of those things would apply to us today. We don't have slaves. We don't shave people's heads who are guilty of adultery, and prostitutes don't normally have shaven heads. So there are some very strong cultural aspects to this, but there are some very clear, abiding principles. And we'll take it up again tomorrow. Good day. May God give you His eternal peace.